Turn in your Bibles, please, to Psalm 33. We'll read this responsively from the New King James Bible, as we usually do. Psalm 33. Rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous, for praise from the upright is beautiful. Sing to him a new song. Play skillfully with a shout of joy. For the work of the Lord is right, and all his work is done in truth. He loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. By the word of the Lord the heavens were made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathers the water of the sea together as a heap. He lays up the deep in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spoke, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. The Lord brings the counsel of the nations to nothing. He makes the plans of the people of no effect. The counsel of the Lord stands forever, the plans of his heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he has chosen as his inheritance. The Lord looks from heaven. He sees all the sons of men. From the place of his dwelling he looks on all the inhabitants of the earth. He fashions their hearts individually. He considers all their works. No king is saved by the multitude of an army. A mighty man is not delivered by great strength. A horse is a vain hope for safety, neither shall it deliver any by its great strength. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and shield. For our heart shall rejoice in him because we have trusted in his holy name. Let your mercy, O Lord, be upon us, just as we hope in you. Amen. Now, believe it or not, I decided on what the sermons were going to be before I actually stopped and took a good look at Psalm 33. This afternoon, we're going to be doing Genesis 1 and looking at the dominion mandate, the Old Testament or creation mandate of it. And then this evening, we're going to be looking at the dominion mandate restated in the Great Commission and how in a fallen world, the Great Commission is the dominion mandate and how these are tied up together in creation. So I got all that set, and then I pulled out and started studying Psalm 33. And, well, there it all is right there in Psalm 33. So it's funny how that works out sometimes. So those of you listening on the internet who like to listen to the Psalms, look up the sermons. They'll fit. You'll like it. Okay. Now this psalm, it doesn't say who it's from. Looking at it in context and by the style of the writing and the way it's all put together, it's easy to see that this matches the psalms that are ascribed to David without too much trouble. So there's no reason to think that it's not David. But we can also see that this psalm isn't particularly tied or doesn't seem to apply necessarily to any event in any one person's life, or even any time in history, because these are timeless truths, looking at creation and on to how that then applies to the people of the earth. It begins with, "Rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous, for praise from the upright is beautiful. Praise the Lord with the harp, make melody to him with instrument of 10 strings. Sing to him a new song, play skillfully with a shout of joy." Now we see here, again, the call of the righteous to praise the Lord, to rejoice in the God of our salvation. To rejoice because what he has given us is certainly joyful. There's no doubt or question about that. But also to rejoice in the Lord because to do so is to praise him for his goodness and for his mercy, for his generosity. We're called to make melody to him with the harp, with an instrument of 10 strings. Now we don't do that anymore. And this sort of thing that we see in the Psalms is often used as evidence, perhaps, that our non-instrumental worship is somehow defective or faulty. Remember that the time this was written was during the time of the temple. And this refers exactly in the same way as when it says to slaughter a bull, or to bring a goat, or to bring two turtle doves, or whatever else is in there. The temple things are past, but they were typical of things that continue on. The music used in the temple was used at the time of the sacrifice, when the people gathering together before they could worship, before they could do the prayer and the wave offerings and the fellowship and all that, had to offer blood for salvation. Where they had to come before God first with blood that sin might be paid for and covered over so that they could stand before God and live. So it's fitting that this is at the beginning of the psalm. For as we approach God, we have to start with the idea of sacrifice. And that's when the instruments were used in the temple. But we do that with singing now, because there's no need to offer blood or the temple things, the typical things that went along with that. And I'm not explaining that nearly as fully or as well as could be done or has been done by people much wiser than I. So anybody have any questions, there are other places to look. But as we approach God and rejoice in Him and sing praise to Him in the next few verses, for the Lord, word of the Lord is right and His work is done in truth. He loves righteousness and justice, and the earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. We know that the earth does have many good things, and we should remember that all good things come from God and from God alone. Because, as we see in verse 6, by the word of Jehovah, by the word of Yahweh, the heavens were made, and all the host of them by the breath of His mouth. Now, the idea of making things to man, which includes you ladies, usually involves our hands. We think of building things, of making things, of shaping things. But we see here that it's the Word of God that does it. The Word of the Lord is right, we see in verse 4, but now in verse 6, by the Word of the Lord, the heavens were made. Now, is the Word of God trustworthy, faithful, and effective? Is God's Word and the things He's promised us trustworthy, strong enough to do that which He sent out? Can we believe it? Well, remember that the same word that He promises you salvation is the word, and only the word, that He used to create the heavens and the earth. And think of the power that was necessary to create the heavens and the earth. That was His word, and the same word is given in salvation. So we can trust His word, and we can see that He does indeed have the power to do all the things that His word promises. All the hosts of the heavens, by the breath of His mouth. And we know more and more as mankind progresses in knowledge just what all the hosts of the heavens entails. I know that one of my favorite things to do when I've got extra time at work is to look at some of the images found or coming in from the Hubble telescope and looking at the majesty and the breadth of the vast heavens that God has made and all the host of the things that He's laid in the sky. But along with that, He gathers the waters of the sea together as a heap and lays up the deep in storehouses. One of the wonders, according to science, is the fact that this isn't just a water world. When you look at all the water that there is in the earth, the fact that it lies in these deep reservoirs is the only thing that allows there to be any dry land for us to live on. And here we see that's no accident of nature. But this is how God has planned it. He purposely dug the seas, or caused the seas to be there, and lays up the waters of the sea in storehouses so that the earth can be there, can exist for us. Let all the earth fear the Lord, and let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him. For He spoke and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. Now these two verses are put together and they're there for a reason, because they do link one another. The call, let all the earth fear the Lord, and all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him. Do you see any question there, or any room for people who don't want to worship God? You see here that all the world is indeed called and responsible to worship the Father. And why is that? Because He created them. For He spoke and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. The Lord brings the counsels of the nations to nothing, and He makes the plans of the people of no effect. The counsel of the Lord stands forever, the plans of His heart to all generations. Now, this is a common theme through the Scriptures, and of course, it's one that we should understand quite well, that when the Lord plans something, it doesn't matter what you think is a good idea. It doesn't matter what the nations believe they have the right to do. It's the counsel of the Lord that's going to stand and His plans. But along with that is the conclusion then that blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. The people He has chosen is His own inheritance. Comes to follow, though, if you think about it, that if the plans of the Lord for His people are the ones that are going to stand, then the nation that follows God is the one that's going to be blessed. Now, what is God's claim on earth? How broad is it? Well, the Lord looks from heaven and sees all the sons of men. From the place of His dwelling, He looks at it, on all the inhabitants of the earth and fashions their hearts individually. He considers all their works. He lays claim to all men, and He knows all men's hearts. No king is saved by their strength, mighty man by his strength. The horse is vain hope for safety, even with its great strength. The strength of man is nothing. The strength of, well, they say horse here because they hadn't invented tanks or anything. But the strength of armies is nothing compared to or without God's blessing. And that would be a warning to any nation. And this is specifically addressed to the nations. That relies on their own physical strength and not their ethical and moral strength in the Lord. Because, behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear Him, on those who hope in His mercy to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. And this is the answer to all the last several verses. Because the eye of the Lord is on those who fear Him, all these other things are worthless. And finally, the closing of the psalm, our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and He is our shield. For our heart shall rejoice in Him because we have trusted in His holy name. Let Your mercy, O Lord, be upon us just as we hope in You. So what is our hope in the Lord? Is it strength then? Is it to be lifted up as the premier among nations? Well, if our nation was a Christian nation, we would have some hope of that. But even then, to rest and think God must be with us because His name is upon us, is to fall into the same trap that Israel did, the same trap that Judah did. No, our hope is to have our souls wait for the Lord, for our hearts shall rejoice in Him because we have trusted in His holy name. It's to rest on the Lord and then be glad for what He gives us. Let Your mercy, O Lord, be upon us, just as we hope in You. Will He bless the nation that is His? Of course He will. We see that in His Word. Will He bless the man and the woman who rests on Him? Of course He will. Will that blessing be exactly what we think it might be in the future? Probably not. Probably not. I know there are many things in my life I've prayed for to get that I didn't get that I'm glad I don't have. Things I prayed not to have that I did get that I'm glad to have. And things that haven't worked out yet, and I'm still wondering just exactly what it is God has in mind. But as long as we rest in the Lord and trust on Him for our salvation, for our preservation, and for all the good things that come from His hand, we will be blessed. Now the heading of this psalm is the sovereignty of the Lord or of Jehovah in creation and in history. And we can add on to that and say, and in the future as well. Because the Lord will be with His people throughout all time. This psalm fit today so well that we're going to sing it. We sang it for the opening. We're going to sing the middle part now, and we'll sing the end at the end of this worship service today. So let us now sing Psalm 33, Part B.